A private toll road runs into trouble in part because traffic is not what it used to be.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. An expected bankruptcy filing today is telling us something about the way Americans drive these days and the wisdom of investing in U.S. infrastructure. The Indiana Toll Road Company, which owns the rights to a 157-mile stretch of highway in Indiana, has been struggling with about $6 billion of debt. It's just one of several private companies that made what turned out to be bad bets on toll roads. Marketplace's Noel King is here with the latest. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, David.
So why did the Indiana Toll Road Company end up in this trouble?
Back in 2006, the Indiana Toll Road's parent company, which is a Spanish-Australian partnership, paid the state of Indiana $3.8 billion for the rights to operate tolls on this stretch of road. In the couple of years before the financial crisis, a lot of global investors were betting on toll roads in the U.S., and a lot of state and local governments were very happy to raise some money by shifting the cost of running those roads to private investors. Now, those investors, like the Indiana Toll Road Company, assumed that tolls were a stable, reliable income stream, and that as the years went on and more people were driving, revenue was only going to grow.
But it didn't. Why not?
Well, a couple of big companies are dealing with this for a couple of reasons. But a part of it in each case seems to be that Americans just aren't driving as much. The million-dollar question is why. And there seem to be a couple of factors. Younger people are driving less. Now, that could be because unemployment has hit 30-somethings on down really hard, and they can't deal with the expense of driving. Cities also are investing in public transportation. And at the same time, the country's aging and older people tend to drive less as well. So there's a couple of factors that all seem to add up to bad news for companies that bet big on U.S. drivers.
All right. We'll hear more about the recession and those millennials in a sec. Marketplace's Noel King, thank you.
Thank you.
After the iPhone accounts of some celebrities got hacked recently, Apple's been talking about privacy. It's now released a freshened operating system that makes it tougher for the unauthorized to get into Apple phones and tablets. Not to be outdone, Google says it's doing something similar for Android. This is making law enforcement authorities unhappy, Marketplace's Quina Kim reports.
If you have a password on your smartphone, the new Apple and Android operating systems will encrypt your data so nobody can read it. Not Apple, not Google, and not law enforcement. Adi Kamdar is a policy analyst for the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
It is significant because privacy is becoming more of a competitive tool. Companies are realizing that users care about privacy.
Kamdar says the encryption only applies to the data you keep on your phone. It doesn't apply to the data gathered by apps or that's stored in the cloud. Despite these workarounds, law enforcement officials are upset. Ron Hosko is a former assistant director of the FBI's Criminal Investigative Division, and he says, in light of the Snowden revelations, he understands the need to protect privacy. But he says Google and Apple have gone too far.
Two big tech providers are essentially creating sanctuary for people who are going to do harm.
Hosko says lawmakers need to step up and make laws that balance privacy and safety. In San Francisco, I'm Quina Kim for Marketplace.
The long recession deprived many younger people of a way to launch themselves into career-type jobs and what some might call financial adulthood, which means they also aren't launching into some big purchases that have traditionally been part of the American dream. First car, as we reported a few minutes ago, but also first home, first retirement account. The big challenge here is for the younger workers themselves, but it's also a hassle for marketers. From Portland, Oregon, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Every week at the local farm co-op, I see these tanned, cheerful young people who work the fields and farm stand. I ask them, why do this?
Using my body and working hard.
So happy I don't work in a cubicle.
I'm tired and my back hurts. Then I look into the horizon and how beautiful it is. Life is very short and I don't want to spend time focused on making money.
Allison Nicholas, Spencer Suffling, and Brindley Beckwith, all college educated, love the work, but admit it doesn't pay enough to buy a new car or save for a down payment. Other young workers just can't find anything but part-time dead-end jobs and can't afford more schooling to get something better. So they don't make big purchases like Gen X and the boomers did before them. Dan Schauble is with Millennial Branding in New York.
They're in debt. You know, they're getting married later. They're getting cars later. In order to make ends meet now, they have to have as few expenses as possible.
Okay, but if you're a brand selling compact cars or starter homes, you still have to try to get these millennial consumers to take the plunge. Here are some tips.
What people have is a showcase of who they are.
Kit Yarrow is a consumer psychologist at Golden Gate University and author of Gen Buy. She says new homes are a tough sell, especially in the high-priced hip cities where young people like to live. But furniture?
IKEA is so perfect for this generation because it has an extremely low price point. It's really customizable. It's what you put in it, what you paint on it, you know, how you make it yours.
And if she were selling cars, focus on environmental values, green fuels.
Because it's not just transportation, it's also a way of saying who you are to other people.
But, warns Dan Schauble of Millennial Branding,
even if you have a great experience, make the product look good, you know, you can tweet from the dashboard and all of that, it comes down to how much can millennials even afford.
At the moment, not much. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in early trading this morning, stock in the Amazon meets eBay of China Alibaba was down nearly 3% after rising about 25% in its first day of trading on Friday. The Financial Times is reporting today that some bankers involved had reserved the right to sell more of the stock, and they are doing that, which means Alibaba can now be considered the biggest new offering of stock in world history, $25 billion. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.